Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show. All right, what's up, everybody? It's Coach Chris with Play in Faith, and I am excited. We've got another fantastic guest with us here tonight. I am here with Steve Watkins, who is a football and baseball coach over at Triton Junior Senior High, in addition to being their school's SRO, or their school resource officer. So excited to have Steve here tonight. So Steve, how's it going?
Man, it's going well. It's right in the midst of the football season, so it's busy.
Yeah, so I know obviously you guys got a big one coming up this weekend, and you're having an excellent season. So tell me a little bit about just so far how it's going this season over at Triton with the football squad.
Yeah, so I am an assistant high school coach, O-line, D-line, and then the JV head coach. And yeah, we're having a good year, right? A lot of lessons that are learned in the game of football. Yeah. But we got a big one coming up against Pioneer this week, conference foe, chance to get a win there and be competing for a conference championship or a tie there. Ooh. Top. So yeah, just, it's busy. It's long days.
Big one this weekend. A lot on the line. So I imagine a lot of your players are feeling some of the stress, right? It's a small community, but a really passionate fan base. And absolutely. I know you guys had a huge one this year. Was it Bremen, like the first win in how many
years?
Yeah,
so I think
something
it was
crazy?
like 54 years since we'd won at home against Bremen. And now our athletic director, he did say that there was if you go back like 15 years or 14 years, something like that, there was a forfeit that had to happen because they had an ineligible player. But we're like, hey, we're not counting that one. Like, this is the first time we've been able to get it done. And it is a long season, too. We were just talking about this at practice tonight. Was, you know, depending on how far you go in the playoffs, you could be playing for another 7 weeks.
Wow.
For football. And some of these kids have been working since May doing weightlifting and stuff. So it's a long season. Like, so you got guys right now that are kind of at that point where it's like, you got to get them over that hump.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you encourage these high school kids who are tired, they're sore, some of them are injured? How do you keep them going for the next 7 weeks if you want to go that far?
Yeah, so you have a big one this week. There's a lot on the line. So what are some of those conversations as you're breaking down practice at the end of the night and you're getting the kids mentally focused for this weekend? What are some of those conversations sounding like?
So it's really comes down to doing the little things.
Yeah.
Like, how well do you do like the fundamentals? Right? Everybody loves the flash, everybody loves the big plays, like scoring the touchdowns, the turnovers, but it's in the details is where you win a ball game or you lose a ball game. Mm-hmm. So are your linemen making their blocks? Are your receivers going out and making blocks? Are your defensive linemen doing their assignments and shutting down a gap instead of trying to be the big guy making the play? Mm-hmm. Right? So like tonight, that conversation was, hey, we know we have the athletic talent, but can we do the execution? Mm-hmm. Can you do your assignments? Can you do the things that aren't going to bring you the notoriety, right? Because in today's world, everybody wants the pat on the back, or they want to be the one that everybody's talking about in school. Are you willing to put that aside for the team and do your assignment? So you might not be the guy getting the credit for the score, but will you go out and make the block that makes that happen?
Yeah, and I think that's something that all coaches want, right? We value that in some of our players, and we hope they just have it intrinsically. But that's a pretty big ask, right? Not everyone does. So how do you build the kind of culture where you have a young man who's willing to go out and make that unheralded play for someone else to get the glory for the betterment of the team? How do you start building some of that culture inside your program?
So something that we're doing is we have what we call a leadership council. Hmm. So it's within the last 2 years, we've started that. And these guys they're six dudes that we select, and it's not the six best dudes. Hmm. It's not the six stars of the team. It's six guys that we think, hey, we can help develop these guys into leaders on and off the field, but they're also going to be willing to go out and bring the other guys along with them. So in those meetings, in those group times, we do book study stuff, so leadership books. The first one we did was Flock, which was written by Tom Roy, who's a local, he's the chaplain at Grace Baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So we use that book to show them leadership, and it was written for coaches, but we were like, hey, let's use it with the players, right? Who better to help coach than your leaders on the football team?
I think that's a really cool way to look at it. Yeah. I mean, I'm coaching a much younger age, but I always look at some of my captains on like my seventh and eighth grade teams, and I'll tell them outside the gym before the first day of practice, like, hey, look, once you walk inside that door, this team's going to act however you act. And almost begging them to be the coach, because I can talk to them blue in the face.
Right.
But when one of your peers is leading both by voice and example, it is so much more impactful. So what are some things you've seen from your players from reading this book? I've heard rave reviews from, you're not the first coach who's brought this up. Yeah. So I'm going to have to get him on the show sometime soon too.
Well, so like last year, it was the year we did it. And it was, you know, I told Tom, I said, you know, starting this book, I know there's going to be some challenges. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like anytime you really try to impact people, especially youth, when you try to impact them for the right reasons, you're going to get tested. And our guys went through some crazy testing last season, and they stepped up in ways that I think blew our minds as coaches. Mm. You got to see young men be resilient.
Yeah.
You got to see them be vulnerable, but they asked some really tough questions. But they also cared for their teammates in ways that I don't think we expected. Right? I think when you start something, you're like, well, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, you kind of hope. You have the like, big aspirations, but is this going to work? We're asking a lot of 16 and 17-year-old young men, right?
That are influenced by a lot of social media stuff. Like, there's a lot of outside factors that play into who they become.
Mm-hmm.
And watching them walk through those challenges of a coaching change mid-season, it was a lot of bad press. It was a lot of bad stuff going on, a lot of turmoil. And as players, they kind of felt that.
Sure.
Right? People were coming after the football team. They were attacking the coaching staff. They were attacking the school. So they kind of took that on. And it was that conversation of, listen, there's always going to be a lot of outside noise. What are you doing? Like, are you doing things the right way? Because if you are, then you have to block all that out. And you've got to protect those around you. So you've got to protect the guys that are in your flock, right? If you guys are the ones that we're entrusting to kind of be the shepherds right now,
sure,
which is the whole basis of it, like, you're giving them that responsibility of, these are your dudes. Like, these are your guys.
Yeah.
We preach brotherhood. That's a big thing that we talk about. Like, here's the time where you have to put that into practice. You've got to protect each other. So watching them grow, right? And we use seniors and juniors. So sure. The junior class from last year is now our seniors. And then we bring new juniors in. So they're kind of mentoring each other as they go through it, right? But then you watch them make mistakes, because they're not perfect.
None of us are.
Right, you can't expect perfection.
Sure.
So it's also learning as a coach, okay, how do I help them when they make that mistake as a leader?
Right.
Right now everybody's coming after me because I'm the leader and I screwed this up. That's fine. You're going to have to learn from it, but you also got to be humble enough to say, I made that mistake.
So that's a good way to phrase it, having some of that humility. And I think what's really cool about what you all are doing, and obviously the whole point of all of this, what we're doing at Play in Faith, is sports is a dress rehearsal for life. It isn't
right.
Life itself. We are building so many of these skills that translate far beyond a football field or a basketball court or a swimming pool. And by empowering some of those young men to take that on, one of the things I found really fascinating is said, having them be vulnerable with one another. 16-year-old football player and vulnerable do not always go in the same sentence. So what has that been like to really push them? I imagine that is well outside of a lot of 16, 17-year-old guys' comfort zones.
It's outside of the coach's comfort zone, right?
Sure.
But I think that is probably the biggest key, is that as a coach, you've got to lead by example,
mm-hmm.
right? I think today's generation, they're hungry for truth. Like, all they are seeing every day on social media, they don't know if it's true or not. They're constantly having to go find out if what they saw is true.
At least you hope they are. Right. I think a lot of people are just
or they're sure buying into it and finding out later that it's not true.
Right.
So that betrayal part. So they are so hungry for you to be true with them, honest with them, and vulnerable. And if you are, that trust factor, it goes through the roof. Right. Yeah. When you show a kid, and especially, so I mean, the cool thing right now is our coaching staff, our head coach is a state trooper. I'm the resource officer. Right. So you got two dudes that are leading the team.
Yeah. They're going to listen to you.
Well, not that, but like they look at you as, listen, you do a cool job. Or you've done, like, you're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to, if you open up and show them, hey, it's okay to admit you're struggling. It's okay to admit that you're not perfect.
That's part of being a man.
It is.
And that's such a hard concept for young men to wrap their head around, that vulnerability and authenticity are about as masculine as you can be, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have to remind myself daily.
It's hard.
Like, it's okay to say, I can't do this on my own, right? Someone gives you an assignment. Hey, I need you to do, I'm just going to, and then you sit there and you sink and you sink and you sink because you don't, hey, if I ask for help, do I look like I can't handle it?
Right.
Right. So it's trying to teach these kids, like, hey, guys, we don't want you to do it on your own. Like, football is a great sport for life lessons.
Oh, amen.
Especially when you're halfway through the season, you're broken, you're bruised, you're tired, you're legitimately walking out to practice as a player going, can I do this again? Like, can I do this again? And even as a coach, like, mentally, you're just sitting there going, we got to go. Yeah, keep going. Right. So it's helping them navigate that and then explain to them, hey, this is how it applies to life.
Yeah. You guys are doing a great job building that culture. So I imagine a lot of our audience, whenever I'm speaking to someone, I envision that we're talking to a lot of parents, a lot of youth coaches, and hoping that we can pass on some wisdom to them to take some of these things that you're doing successfully and some of these incredible coaches that we're talking with. So if I'm a youth coach and I want to put something like this in place, right? I want to start developing the leaders of my team. What does that look like? How did you get to the point where you have your counsel, or, you know, what are some of the tips for younger coaches trying to set up something like this?
Well, I think a lot of it is finding out your why. Why are you coaching? Right? Like, are you coaching because you want somebody to give you a pat on the back and tell you, hey, coach, you did a great job. Nice win. Are you going for the ring? Are you, like, what is your why? Because I've told people, like, if you're going for the pat on the back, you're going to wait a long time, right? Because when you're successful, everyone says, well, you should be successful. You're the head coach, or you're a coach.
Yeah.
The moment you don't get it right, everybody's coming out of the woodwork to tell you how you could have done it better.
Yeah, when you win, the credit goes to the players. Right. When you lose, you're a moron.
You should have started this guy, or you should have ran this play.
Well, even when you win, you get a lot of that, right?
Yeah. So what's your why? If your why is, hey, I want to develop my players into people off of the field, off the court, off the track, right? I got into coaching because as a police officer, 20-plus years, I saw that our kids, they need those positive role models.
Yeah.
They need people to impact them in a positive way. And I get to do that at a coaching level where they see me as a coach. Like, when a kid walks up to me and I'm in full uniform and they call me coach, there's nothing better.
It's my favorite title.
And I had a teacher actually ask me, like, are you okay with them calling you coach when you're in uniform? And I said, why wouldn't I be?
What a term of respect. I mean, yeah, it is.
It's, well, because they don't see the uniform.
Right.
They're not even.
Well, they just trust you.
Yeah, they see coach.
Yeah.
Right. They see, and I mean, I've had kids in crisis situations, and I've showed up in a police capacity in a moment of crisis, and the first thing they say is, that my coach? And whenever I need to remember why I'm doing what I'm doing, it's not for the money, right? Because don't make anything, especially as a coach.
Yeah, it's a stipend.
Right? Police officer, you're not making a lot of money. It's hearing that voice. Yeah. Is that my coach? And realizing the impact that you're having on that kid is far greater than just what they're doing on the field, right? So when we come into developing kids, we want to develop them into people that will hear about what they're doing in their community.
Yeah.
what they did for another student at school when no one was watching, right? Did they, like, the one year I challenged our guys, I said, hey, I want you to start doing something. And this was with baseball. I said, I want you to find the kid who sits by themselves at lunch that no one else will sit with. I want you to go ask them if you can have lunch with them. And they're like, okay. And I had one kid say, well, can I just go sit down? I was like, no. I want you to ask them because it's allowing them the opportunity to say, I want you to sit here with me.
Sure.
You're not just inserting yourself into their table, their realm. Like, that's their space right then. Maybe they want to be alone. You give them the opportunity to sit there and say, hey, I'm showing you some respect. Can I have lunch with you? And watching that happen.
They did it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Right? And one of the kids who did it first was one I didn't expect to do it, which was kind of cool because you're like, that's not going to be the kid who's going to do it. And he was the first one who did it. And then you saw other kids join. And before long, those kids who were sitting by themselves, they started having a full table of kids to sit with at lunch.
That makes a huge difference. And I truly believe, and I've had this conversation a lot lately, that God is platforming athletes right now. You're seeing a revival. Oh. You're seeing an authenticity of faith, like with these Ohio State players ministering on campus. And I feel like every NFL presser is turning into a form. Like, can you tell me about that cover too? And it's like, praise Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that
Which
was
is awesome.
Like, it's amazing, right? Yeah. I mean, you're seeing this huge like revival of faith. And I think even at the high school level, sometimes we take for granted what a massive influence that we have as high school athletes over our community and especially inside the halls. So that's awesome that you're doing that. And you can just tell that you're having a huge impact on the culture of Triton. They're blessed to have you. Is it fair to say, though, at one point in your youth, if I would have told you 20-some years ago, right, that you were going to be the SRO, a football and baseball coach at Triton, you would have said what?
There's no way. In fact, our secretary, when I took the job and came back, I can remember my first day, she looked at me and she said, the last time you were in this building, when you graduated, you told me you were never coming back. And I said, yes, that is correct. You know, and I was talking to a friend recently about this, and we were laughing. I said, you know, it's cool when you look at your story and you realize God wrote it in a way that is only believable because he had a plan.
Yeah.
Like, that is what makes, when you look back and say, wow, how does that even make sense? And it doesn't unless you put God in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I moved to Bourbon from the suburbs of Baltimore when I was in eighth grade. So here I am. We'd already started school, so partway into my eighth grade year, my family relocates to where my dad grew up. And I come from this urban setting, big school districts, to the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, Baltimore's a tough town.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're in the suburbs, but there's, like, very diverse, like, a lot of stuff going on. And I'm like, what is this? Like, we're going to just land, right? And I had some teachers that my dad had when he was in school, and I'm just like, what is going on? And I struggled a lot through my high school years trying to find where I belonged.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you go to a small town, and those friend groups are already established.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to fit into what has already been established since they're in kindergarten. And when you go to a small school, it's I'd say it's harder to fit in than it is in a big school, right? Big school, you can blend in, you find your groups. Those small schools, it's tough. And I spent my years trying to be somebody that I wasn't. And I was not going to be the stud athlete. I was not going to be the star. I was not going to be the guy that, you know, single-handedly brought a state championship to the school. But I played baseball and football. I was your average athlete, right? But I spent so much time trying to be something I wasn't that it cost me. Right. And I made some decisions. Like, I grew up in a family that was very faith oriented, Christian home from the time I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember my parents being youth leaders at a church.
Sure.
Right. I was saved at early age, baptized at an early age. Like, the problem was I knew all the answers. at least the ones that kept adults off my back, could keep them happy. No one looked twice at me.
Knew what to say, even if we may not quite be walking that walk. Fair enough.
Right. I was a good kid in school. I wasn't that kid who was getting in trouble. But by my junior and senior year, I was out partying. Right. And I was trying to fit into this group that I had no business being a part of. And senior year, my homecoming night, my parents are out of town in Tennessee with my brother on vacation. And I take my mom's car and go to a party. And coming home from that party that night, I get in a car crash with another individual leaving that party. And my whole world just came crumbling apart.
Yeah.
Kicked off of football. Small town, so now my family's embarrassed.
Sure.
Right? I remember being told by our athletic director at the time, like, he was embarrassed. My coach, who had put all this faith in me, you're right, he was so disappointed. And to this day, that is one of the things that I think number two to my parents was my football coach.
Oh, sure.
Who was a Christian dude. Talked about how I was, and these kids that he would talk to knew, dude, he's not the guy you're saying he is. He's got you fooled. And like seeing that hurt on his face, like, wow.
Yeah.
You had me fooled. Right. But I remember the athletic director saying, like, you won't represent this football program at this school again. You're done. And then 25 years later, I'm not only representing the football program, but I'm the resource officer at the school. Right. And what was cool is I got to see him. He passed away recently, our athletic director, but I got to see him a couple years ago, and he walked up to me at a basketball game. And he stopped and he looked at me and went, "You became a police officer." And I was like, "Yes, sir." And I was like, "And I'm also a football coach." And he just kind of looked at me, and you could see like that moment of realization of, wow.
Yeah.
Like, and it's cool.
I'm sure there's a lot of pride there too, where they always say God uses imperfect people for perfect reasons.
Yeah.
And sometimes while we're going through the imperfect, it hurts and it's hard to see the path. But obviously, I know you're someone who's relied on their faith to get back to this place and that journey. And obviously, they are thrilled that you are there now. But,
well, I hope so.
What a journey, man.
And I share that story with the kids, too. Like, yeah. I don't shy away from that because it goes back to that vulnerable part, right? And I've had people say, like, are you sure you want to tell them like what you did? Like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Because they're facing the same things, maybe even worse because of technology now.
Mm-hmm. But harder to hide a mistake. Right. It lingers longer.
100%.
Sure.
And it never goes away.
Yeah.
Right. And when you see these kids struggling, it's because stuff just keeps coming back. Like when I didn't have cell phones. Like if you messed up at school, you went home and within a couple of days, I forgot you made that mistake.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it just keeps coming back. And your social media apps will say, hey, remember this event? Bam. And then someone reshares it again.
Oh, you're seeing it with like people in their 30s and 40s, people bringing up something they did as like a young teenager.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like we really weren't that smart then. Like,
yeah. I mean,
an impossible standard while our brains are still developing. And I'm actually amazed by how few poor decisions a lot of high school athletes are making.
Well, and I think a lot of
it's actually kind of incredible, frankly.
We had that conversation maybe last year. We talked about how it seems like they don't do the stuff that maybe we did 25 years ago.
Maybe it's because they know someone's watching.
They're under a microscope.
I think it is. That's like a lot of pressure, though, right?
Yeah, they're so worried about somebody's going to find out that they either have to be so super secretive of it, or they just don't partake at all because they know like somebody's going to say something.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, obviously, it's been a heck of a journey. You're back home. You're making a huge impact. And you are open and willing to share some of your struggles and where you've been with your players. How do you think that helps them overcome some of the challenges? Because I would think that having you in their corner would be quite beneficial for somebody.
Well, I think it helps them realize, you know what? Your past mistakes don't define your future, right? So, I mean, and that was a challenge coming back to a small town where my reputation when I left wasn't a great one, right?
So on day one, it's, I remember this guy.
I've had students... since, I mean, this is year four for me at the school.
Yeah.
I had a girl walk up to me in the lunchroom and say, my dad wanted me to ask you about wrecking your mom's car when you were in high school. I'm like, holy smokes. Well, this, okay.
It's pretty bold.
Like,
you should just arrest her.
Yeah. It looks, yeah. No, but I mean, she caught me off guard. I'm like, well, who's your dad? And she told me, I'm like, oh yeah, well, he's not wrong. Like, yeah. I did, that happened. Yeah. But it's like, you're going back, so you have to change that. But I've had people send me messages, which have been awesome. I had a guy send me a picture of me on the sidelines. He was in the stands. And he sent me a picture of me on the sidelines talking to one of our players. And it just said, hey, I want you to know how glad I am that you're back here.
That's awesome.
And how you love on our kids. And I was like, that's it. Like, that's the whole, like, if they see that, like, you don't have to see me as a great football coach. You don't have to see me as a great SRO. Like, I can be average in all those. If you see me as somebody who will love on our kids and help them and guide them, then I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to be a Hall of Fame coach. I just want to know that these kids leave better than when they came in, and that they have skills and the tools to navigate through the challenges of life. Because as coaches, we gave that to them. And they're not just a good football player and they leave, because people will forget that.
Sure.
Like, they'll forget that quickly. Records get broken. Your reputation and who you are doesn't.
Amen. I mean, I think it's one of the greatest blessings in coaching, whether people listening at home are coaching third and fourth graders, whether you're coaching middle school, high school level. We do have a lot of college and even professional coaches who sit down with us. But it is that unmatched opportunity to pour into someone. You have such an incredible platform and opportunity to influence lives. So it's just cool to sit down with you and hear how you're pouring into these students. Obviously, you guys are doing wonderful things at Triton. And as we kind of come to the home stretch here, so obviously you've got football season winding down. Everyone, we're going to be praying for you, wishing you well. I think I already know what success truly looks like to you. But if you had just one bit of advice for coaches at home to really have that leadership impact on their students, what's some parting words of advice you would give to coaches out there to really maximize their impact and use this ministry and blessing the way it should be used?
Don't give up on the tough kid. Right? Like, the kid who is your toughest challenge is probably the one who needs you the most. And could probably be your biggest leader if you can get to them. I mean, I think back to some of our toughest kids, and then you find out a little about home life, or you find out about some struggles, and it makes sense. And you just hope and pray that you don't find that out once they're gone. Right? So when I see those tough kids, I remind myself of who I was. I was that tough kid. Like, I was just, I didn't want anyone to get close to me. I didn't want anyone to touch me. Like, I give you the right answers, just I kept my distance. And I look at those kids and I'm like, those are the ones. Like, when you talk about the kid who needs the sport more than the sport needs them.
Yeah.
Like, those are the ones I want to, like, I want that kid. The kid that everybody is always praising and lifting up. Like, yeah, he needs me too. But it's that kid who is hard to get to. Right? The one that exhausts you.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, I can think back to coaching Little League Baseball to some of them. I'm like, wow. Like, that was a tough kid. But then you saw at the end of the season, or that kid came up to you at the end of the season and said, hey, thank you for everything you did. Like, yeah. When you see that happen, that relationship builds. But I would tell any coach, whether it's you're coaching kindergarten kids or you're coaching professional athletes, like, the one that is the tough one is the one worth going after, because that's where your impact is you can really make an impact in that kid's life.
Yeah.
Right? There's something there that they want you to care. They just don't know how to ask for you to, like, and as a coach, we got to be that.
Sure.
Like, we've got to be willing to put our pride aside sometimes and walk in a way that shows them, hey, I'm going to be vulnerable. Even if you're not going to be yet, you might even use this against me. I don't know. But I'm going to show you what true love looks like. Like, I'm going to accept you whether you are going to be that kid who's going to be a problem or you're not. And I'll give you a chance. Like, that's the other thing. I don't ever want to give up on a kid.
Sure.
Even kids, like, if they've quit, I want to come back. Okay? There's going to be some parameters for that to happen. Maybe some consequences for whatever it was, whatever you quit. But I'm not going to give up on you.
Yeah, I think that's really, like, the true blessing of being a coach is, you know, when your kids know, look, I may not love everything you do, and I'm going to do my best to make sure you do better, but I'm always going to love you.
Yeah.
And I think once they know that, you have permission to coach.
Yep.
And once we have permission to coach them, that's when these life lessons way beyond the field, the pitch, the court really start to anchor down. So you guys are obviously doing a wonderful job. I try to limit these to 30 minutes, and I always run over. I think every one of my podcasts ends with me being like, oh, my gosh, how do we get to the 30-minute mark already? Could talk to you all day. Hey, we're going to be praying for you this season. Yeah, keep pouring into these students at Triton. We're going to be praying for you the rest of the season. It is an absolute blessing to have you on today. And just thank you so much for your time and for everything you're doing in the community.
Love it. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Good luck this season, Coach.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit PlayInFaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just the voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.